Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WRD with Philip Gentry and Boat Girl.
Happy weekend, y'all.
Happy end of Hell Week.
Yes.
For Boat Girl.
Yes. Boat show was fun.
Yeah.
I still have a little boat show hangover. Still kind of tired.
But not what you would think hangover means.
No.
Hangover's not, because we stayed at it.
No, because we have had not enough sleep and way too much work over the last 14 days.
Yeah. Much high fat, high salt.
High fat, high salt, junk food.
Yeah.
Monsters, Starbucks.
But it was fun.
It was fun.
See a lot of people.
Old friends, new friends.
Yep.
It's good. It's a good time.
Got to do the show from there,
which was also fun.
Yeah, great show last week. I really enjoyed that. There was, talking to a lot of cool guests out there. And so many people I'd really like to talk to on the radio and just don't get the chance.
Yeah, we need about a six-hour special
during
boat show week. So we can just talk to everybody that we want to talk to.
We'll talk to the sales department about that. So, got a great show coming up for you today. We don't always have a theme for the show.
We have had themes.
We do
lately.
More often than not lately. But we do kind of have a theme for this show, and it's a crappy show
or crappie.
Yeah, or crappy. Yeah, because we're going to.
Crappy or crappy, depending on where you're from.
We got two crappy guests.
And one of them's crappy.
One of them's going to say crappy. So that means basically we're talking to somebody from either the Carolinas or Georgia or somebody from anywhere else, basically.
So you've always said crappy.
I've
always heard it as crappy.
But if you hear me when I'm talking to, like, if I'm doing interviews or something, you can tell who I'm talking to. And I don't know if you picked this up the other day when I was talking to Brad Whitehead over on the other side of Alabama. When I started saying crappie, and it's something that I end up, I'll try not to do it on this show.
Like while in Rome?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's just kind of a flip-flop thing. But we're going to start the show talking about something entirely different. Tips for quail hunting on a preserve. So, it's a little article that I wrote for the Upstate Outdoors blog, and it was not an interview that I did with Mike Johnson, but it would definitely apply for any of you going down to our sponsor, Clinton House Plantation.
It is so fun and worth a trip.
But it's some
so
pretty
fun.
Good tips. And then we're going to talk with T.C. Lloyd. He is a fishing guide. A crappie fishing guy with Southern Angling Guide Service down in kind of the Midlands area. He fishes a lot on Lake Watery, Santee Cooper, Lake Murray a little bit. He and I actually had the opportunity to go out last weekend while Boat Girl was at the boat show working. I was out fishing and
he was fishing and sending pictures of these giant slab.
We had some, sure enough, a lot of people tell you, it cost 2 pound crappie. Now these were sure enough put them on a scale, and they were 2.5 pounds.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, so we had some good fish there. And then during the second hour, we're going to bring you the Roadkill Cafe and Boat Girls with the theme
crappie.
How are we going to fix them?
Cajun crappie po' boy sandwiches.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, with the homemade sauce.
Oh, remoulade.
Sort of like a remoulade.
Remoulade. Okay.
Something.
All right. And then for those of you who are like, I don't care nothing about this fishing, I will talk about some more hunting. We've got 5 tips for scouting spring gobblers. You know, it's kind of cold now, but it has been warm. And just like crappie fishing, when it gets warm, those gobblers will start sounding off. So we got an article from, it's actually WoodhavenCustomCalls.com from their website.
Because turkey season's coming too.
Yeah, turkey season. We, of course, here in the Upstate, it won't be until April 1st because they moved the season back again. But if you're hunting down below the, game zone 2, then it'll open up on I think they kept the March 20th. But it's still, there's still a lot of people out scouting and looking. It's just time. Like deer season. You're getting ready for that. Then it's a great honor. We're going to have Jack Wells, the president of B&M Poles, one of my many, many bosses that I have.
With his 411 million jobs.
Yeah, with my 40 million 11 different jobs. But I think Jack is actually at a trade show because it's trade show season.
Yes.
But agreed to talk with us. So we'll look forward to talking with him as part of a nationwide crappy madness that he was actually he actually kind of got with Bass Pro Shopping, Cabela's, and said, hey, why don't you, I could send some of my guys out to your stores and we could do seminars across the country. And
so Crappy Madness is nationwide.
They ran out of people for this part of the world, so I get to do it.
Yay!
look forward to having Jack on the show. And then Boat Girl's going to bring us the calendar of events.
Yep, we got a few.
And I added one or two.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually got another couple, so if we have time during a break, I might get those to you. If we have time. And then last week, we never got around to our parting shot because we just ran along on Boat Show. But poor old Florida Man Stories waiting in the wings. So Florida Man in the Iguana, we'll have to tell you about that one.
Yeah, this is a good one. So we saved it for this week.
Yeah, so we saved it, carried it over. I had one, I kind of debated on that, but nah.
I liked this one.
Before it gets too warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was it? Going back to talking about, we did the show at Boat Show. I mean, at the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show last weekend.
The 50th annual. Yes.
That's right. And that was the seventh year in a row that Upstate Outdoors, since the inception of this show, we have been at Boat Show. So really, and I mean, you know the lady that runs it more than I do.
Yes.
But a lot of thanks to her for being once a year, but a great sponsor.
They do a great, great job over there as far as making everything happen, organizing the show. I mean, it was a good one this year.
So how long did it take? We were talking about how many boats that they had in the boat show, you know, like 80 more. And
they had 80 more than last year.
What time of night was it? Because you have to have them out Sunday night, right?
No, you can work on Monday.
Oh, on Monday?
Yeah, you can work on Monday.
But y'all got them out Sunday night,
very late.
Yeah, because it's like 1 o'clock before you got home.
No, it was a little later than that. You
were
sleeping. You'd been fishing all day. Yeah, he was worn out.
I got up 4 o'clock and drove down to Santee.
That is a long haul, and I'll give you that.
And it wasn't warm, and it wasn't not windy.
It was windy and cold. And I texted PG pretty early in the day, and I'm like, how's it going? You know, and he's like, cold, windy. And then it was not 15 minutes later, he sent me this picture with two giants. And I'm like, I guess that cold windy went away, huh?
No, it didn't go away.
It just makes it better when you're catching.
We just persevered, yeah.
You know?
And it was cool. I had a boat girl moment because we broke off for a little bit. We're fishing on the lower lake near the steam generating plant,
yeah,
which is the one that, you know,
the plant that you can see from a lot of the lake.
See. So we decided to go to over to Black's Camp and eat.
Yeah.
And
they
were having a little bass tournament there, and we walked in, and there's like three or four people in there that I hadn't seen in a long time. You know, Kevin Davis at Black's Camp, and Brett Mitchell was one of the guys and fishing in a tournament over there, and so it was cool.
Family reunion everywhere you go,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, like it. It's that time of year. You don't see anybody during deer season because it's like I'm in the woods.
You don't see us during deer season either.
No. And actually got to the place and saw a good friend of mine I hadn't seen, Derek Fulton, who's not a guide but a tournament fisherman down around. He's actually a retired military in the Army, and he was down there fishing. Hadn't seen him in a long time.
I wonder what it took to win down there. Was it a bass tournament?
A bass tournament?
How many pounds did it take to win? Did you check? I have to look that up on the internet. I mean, it's Santee's Great Lake to get a bunch of 20-plus pound bags.
Yeah, yeah. It's a crappy show.
Oh, sorry. Wrong species.
All right, so we're going to go to our break. When we come back, we're going to jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, well, we talked about this being our crappy show, but...
But you went off the tracks.
I'm going to go off the tracks because this is the time of year. A lot of folks like to do hunting, and we're kind of in that silly season. Duck season is over.
It is, isn't it?
Ended yesterday. And wabbit season. Pow!
We're not going to talk about how many ducks we got this year.
Or didn't get. Zero.
We're zeroed.
They'll send me that survey for my hip, my harvest information permit.
You know, and it kind of hurts my feelings when they send those.
Did
to
you
me.
Hunt ducks? Yeah. How many did you harvest? Zero.
It hurts my
and
feelings.
And one for lack of trying, though.
I didn't kill any deer last year. Was it? No, year before
Two
last.
2 years.
2 years ago. I killed no deer, and they sent the little survey thing, and I'm like, they're just trying to rub it in.
When did you not kill deer? You have not.
This past season, I did too. Season before, so it was 3 seasons ago. I did not kill the deer.
Oh, that was that you killed one, and it's and
I
didn't,
killed one, and then I didn't.
And then she waxed. Then she waxed me this year.
Yeah, I had to come back because last year was
not
really,
in numbers. But you killed bigger deer
than
I did.
Yeah, but last year you killed my 2 biggest deer that I'd been watching.
I learned my lesson, folks. Look,
do not kill Boat Girl's deer.
Don't kill your wife's deer. She does not like
no.
that. But if you take her quail hunting.
Which is also way fun, which I want to do again really, really soon.
Yeah. And I had an article up, and then I lost it. I tell you what, it's like I was telling our producer, it's tough living in a home
with two blonde
people because.
We couldn't find his keys earlier. He couldn't find his glasses. And now he can't find his blog article.
I got it.
Hit the high spots.
I got it. I got it right here because I don't remember.
Live radio, folks.
All right. So, Upside Outdoors blog, tips for quail hunting on a preserve. Now, before big game hunting of white-tailed deer and eastern wild turkey became the flagship species for hunters in the southeastern United States, old Bob White Quail was king. Now, back in the days when boys used to roll up to the high school parking lot with shotguns perched in gun racks in the back window of the truck, and nobody minded, right? God, you'd be arrested.
Man, I grew up in that
you'd
generation.
Be arrested now.
I missed that.
Well, it was common for boys to stop along the way to school and kick up a covey of quail before heading to class.
True statement.
Country people did that.
Yes.
And
true
now, back
statement.
In those days, the wastelands that made the area much more rural consisted of cut-over fields and farmlands. Those areas were perfect habitat for rearing quail, rabbits, and other small game species. Now, unfortunately, changes in land use from farming to timber management and urban sprawl. Lord knows we got some urban sprawl. Have also changed the landscape for the hunter. The fields and farms that once held abundant quail and other small game are too few and far between, and the small game animals were unable to adapt to the changing landscape the way deer and turkey have. Because deer live on a...
Wherever they...
I'm surprised we hadn't had some coming in the back gate that I left over a couple nights ago after I pulled up all them acorns.
I'm kind of surprised, too, because I noticed the gate was open this morning.
But does that mean that upland game hunting is a thing of the past? The answer is a solid no. What has replaced the old days of quail hunting on the lands of your relatives and neighbors, where permission was never needed, is a more organized and more planned version of upland game bird hunting. It's called a hunting preserve, right?
So fun.
Yep, so fun. Hunting preserves began showing up in the Carolinas when it became abundantly clear that the bobwhite quail was fighting a losing battle for habitat. A typical preserve may encompass 500 to 10,000 acres of land and provides guided hunts for a fee or required membership to the preserve. Now, as a quail hunting guide for the Contineia Creek Shooting Preserve, that's up in Snow Hill, North Carolina, Walter Claybrook has some advice for hunters who may be visiting a shooting preserve for the first time. He said, shooting sporting clays before you arrive to shoot is great practice.
I agree.
Right?
Yes.
We did that before
we went to Clinton House.
Make sure you're practicing with the same gun you'll be using to hunt quail, and make sure you're using the right gun and the right loads for the hunt.
Yes.
Right? So practice.
I think that really helped.
Like my old basketball coach used to say, practice makes permanent. In describing the right gun, Claybrook stated, a lot of hunters bring their long-barreled duck guns to shoot with. He suggests keeping the barrel length at 26 inches rather than 28 or 30 inches, and make sure the choke is improved cylinder or, at most, a modified choke.
Okay.
Duck hunting's more long range, okay?
Right.
Longer guns, tighter chokes, stuff like that. Quail hunting's close up, closer, because, I mean, they're leaving from your feet or 10 feet in front of your feet. Now, most novice hunters shoot too quick and don't give the bird time to get out there so the choke can do its job and let the shot pattern open up, he said.
Okay.
If they do hit the bird, it's such a tight pattern it destroys the meat.
That makes sense, too. I think I'm just the opposite. I think I hesitate.
Well, you do it because you don't want to shoot around a dog.
I love the dogs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's
you'll make sure you get away from the dog.
Curve for
and
me.
That's not a bad thing. So, I mean,
safe is better than sorry.
Safe is better than sorry. Now, he recommended nothing bigger than 7.5 size shot, with 8 being the most common, and on occasion a size 9. He also recommends hunt parties stay at 2 hunters per guide, no more than 3, so that each hunter has ample shooting and can keep their zones of fire away from other hunters.
That makes sense, too. I wouldn't want to be out there with a bunch of people.
Another thing I suggest is hunt with a preserver guide who will let you go back and hunt the birds you missed, he said. Some clubs only allow 1 try at each bird, but you want a guide who will remember what's left on the field and will work back through for a second try at the birds that didn't get killed first go around.
We did that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, although the wild quail recovery has been slow in coming, despite extensive recovery efforts by both state and local wildlife managers and user groups, the South has always been the stronghold for the traditions of quail, or hunting quail, watching dogs work, the excitement of birds flushing, and the camaraderie of hunters hunting together side by side. Unlike deer turkey hunting, which are pretty solitary, quail hunting has a lot of social aspects, and fortunately, modern quail hunting preserves do everything possible to preserve that heritage.
I'm going to tell you, that is probably the most fun that I've had in one day.
Yeah.
When we got to go. I want to go again really, really soon.
Yeah.
I could see myself getting like, okay, I want to do this all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't tell me. He did not prepare me for how fun it really was.
Yeah. And we've been eating quail for
once
a week.
And we'll
run
delicious.
Out about March. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Sifra, I did put one. I was trying to smoke them, and
it was a little too hot.
You got to stay out there with that big orange, big red egg.
Yeah, you got to stay with it. I mean, it still tasted good, but they were a little crispy.
Yep. All right, well, let's go to our break. We got T.C. Lloyd waiting in the wings, and we will jump into our interview back on the crappy schedule.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, welcome back, and we are continuing. Actually, we're not continuing. We're starting.
He doesn't know where he's at.
Into our crappy fishing show, which we always kind of have a theme for each show, and with it being the first day of February. And we got a good friend of mine, T.C. Lloyd, who is a crappy fishing guide, and I don't mean that the way it sounds. But he's with Southern Angling Guide Service. T.C., welcome to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, man, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good, good. Now, I gotta tell people, those people who are friends on social media with me personally, and I'm not sure, did I post that on Upstate Outdoors?
Everybody Facebook? Already knows y'all caught some massive slabs last weekend.
And we did, didn't we, T.C.? We caught some biggins.
Oh, yeah, man. We caught some biggins.
And did a little trip down to Santee Cooper. Santee Cooper's a great fishing lake for just about everything that swims, but this time of year it's a great crappie fishing lake, especially for some big fish. And a lot of people don't realize that those fish spawn, what would you say, TC, about a month earlier than most lakes around the state?
Yeah, they're just on average earlier. And you know, we caught a fish the other day that you know, we actually pulled the fish out and you know, had like it was full of roe. And I think you actually said, look at this, it's a female. We didn't know at the time. We put the fish in the live well, and the fish turned black, and that was just a male, you know, that had took its color already. And that's, you know, most lakes aren't having that happen yet. You know, the fish aren't ready, but Santee, for whatever reason, it's always ahead of everywhere else in South Carolina, and from what I've seen.
Yeah, yeah. And Santee fishes a lot of different ways, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk with you about, was different crappie fishing, you know, tactics and techniques, and I'm sure our listeners are going to get plenty of that this show, talking about, you know, different ways
what
to fish.
What to, how to,
and then I'm going to be at Cabela's next weekend and stuff like that. But you know, it used to be that years and years ago that single pole fishing was the only way to fish.
Yeah, that's I grew up doing single pole fishing, but like me and you spoke, you love the long line troll, and now about everybody in South Carolina, as a matter of fact, you go anywhere in the country and people know you from South Carolina, they're just gonna assume you're a long line troller, you long line and jigs out the back of the boat, and we didn't do that, but that is a really good way to be fishing this time of the year, and that's what everybody else we saw was doing. And I prefer to single pole fish, you know, but I will throw them out the back of the boat, and I've seen what everybody else is doing right now when the fish are suspended and scattered.
Yeah, and then, you know, over the last 10 years, you know, people, if you see someone out there and you know they're crappie fishing because they got – what was it, Boat Girl? We saw a guy, we're down at Lake Greenwood, and she sends me a picture. She says, there's somebody crappie fishing because he's got all them poles sticking out of the side of the boat.
I rode down there real quick, and he wasn't there yet. And I was like, yeah, there's a guy in a John boat crappie fishing. I think he had about 8 rods out the front.
And that's right.
And I guess the question is, I mean, especially as a tournament fisherman like you do, does that increase your odds? Does that help you? What, I mean, what's the reason for having so many fishing rods at one time?
I mean, you know, just to cover water and to cover different depths, and you can put different colors on and different size jigs and different size minnows and figure out what they want. You know, you can think of it like a corn picker. If you're picking corn, you know, to bag for deer hunting, you know, would you want a 2-row picker or a 10-row picker? You know, I guess that's kind of the philosophy. You can cover a bunch of water, bunch of different depths, bunch of different colors, bunch of different sizes real quick, and you can figure out what those fish are doing for any particular day. And once you dial them in, you got all them rods, you can really get on them, you know.
Yeah, I'll take Boat Girl. When we first met, and she wanted to go fishing, which she thought I was going to take her bass fishing.
I'm just assuming that he meant bass fishing.
Yeah, well, she was mistaken, but she does really like, you know, she likes the trolling, the faster trolling, maybe not so much the tight lining. But we were on a fish one day, and she goes, "This is not like fishing. This is like working a shrimp boat. I got all these different lines I got to pull and all this stuff, and the boat's moving. And it's like fishing. It's like shrimping.
It's like running nets.
Yeah, it's like running nets."
Oh yeah, you long line troll. You know, you've done it soon. You go across a school of fish, and you got 10 or 12 rods going through them. You know, you might get 6 or 8 on at a time. It's like a little Chinese fire drill to boat sometimes, but it's fun. It's a lot of work, keeps you busy.
I get my feelings hurt when everything gets tangled up.
Yeah, that is a problem. But when you got 6 or 8 fish laid in the boat, sometimes you just say, well, the tangles might have been worth it a little bit, you know.
Yeah, the aftermath is great. What's bad is when it's not a school of fish, but it's a big old brush pile that you didn't see. And then there is no aftermath, and you're standing there tying jigs back on.
That's right. Or a big school of striper or something. Stripers will tear you up too. But anybody that hadn't done it and wants to do it, if you do get tangled up in a mess, I just suggest you just cut them and retie them. Don't fool with untangling lines, because you're going to spend a whole lot more time untangling them than you would if you just cut them off and retie them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, hey, and then, like I said, that's been the multiple poles been the last 10 years or so, but there is a movement, and a lot of that's based on sonar and some new sonar, side imaging and forward imaging and 360 imaging and down imaging, where crappy fishermen are going back to single pole fishing.
That's right. Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm in the same boat. You've got the Humminbird just come out with a new Mega 360, and you know that just goes 360 degrees. It's like side imaging that's continuously moving. And with that, you can pick out isolated stumps or isolated logs or a brush pile. If you got 5 brush piles in the area, you can sit and look at them, and you can tell what fish are on which brush pile. And then if you get close to it, there's several different live sonar products out. They got the Live Scope from Garmin, and Lowrance has got one, I think it's called Live View. I'm not real familiar with the Lowrance version, but yeah, and then you can pull up on a fish and you can actually see the fish sitting by that stump or log, and you can actually watch your bait fall down right in front of his face and see how he reacts to it. And if you don't get anything from him, you change up and you do whatever you got to do to catch him. And if you can't, it's time to move on, you know. And it's really fun to me, and it's bringing, you know, it's a lot of people are starting to go that way, and it's, you know, some people say it's kind of like cheating, and you know, it may be a little bit more of an unfair advantage we've already had, but you know, it's fun, and that's the way it seems, the way everybody's starting to go.
Right. Well, and we've talked about this before. Electronics in general have come so far, even over the past 5-6 years. I mean, it's been a pretty
recent
thing.
Yeah, it's hard
to keep up. Changed everything. Especially getting sonar in real time instead of just a still image of what your boat passed over, you know, 6 or 8 feet back.
So yeah, it's changed
the way that we're doing a whole bunch of stuff right now. I mean, we're all just anxious to see what comes next.
Oh, yeah, the past 2 years has been just incredible advancements they've got. Now, there's not a lake. The summertime when fish get on brush, you know, that's my favorite time of fishing. They're just it's just so predictable. You know, you ain't got to worry about cold fronts, and the fish are going to be on brush all summer long. With you know, any kind of heat, there's going to be fish on brush, and you can show up to any lake in the country. And if you know how to operate your side imaging to find any kind of, you know, cover under the water or structure or something holding fish, you can catch them. Just show up blind and catch fish if you spend time with your electronics. And that it, you know, that's a lot of fun to me, just showing up somewhere to a new lake one day, catching a limit or two of fish and going home. You know, you feel good about on the way home. So it is nice, and I'm glad to come out with all this new stuff.
And speaking of which, we're going to go to our break now, and then what I'd like to do is kind of pick your brain a little bit about some local patterns that are going on right now, because a lot of folks, like me and you included, are not going to wait until springtime. They want to get out on the water. So
it's time to go.
Yeah, it's time to go now. I saw the daffodils are blooming. It's time to crappie fish. So, TC,
right.
Hang on for a second. We're going to go to our break. When we come back, we'll get a statewide or a fishing report and see what TC Lloyd thinks are maybe some of the best bets you need to be crappie fishing right now.
Cool, y'all. Stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, we're back. In last segment, we were talking to T.C. Lloyd, crappie fisherman, crappie angler from Southern Angling Guide Service. And actually, TC, you're down there around Lake Watery. That's your home lake?
Yeah, I'd say that'd be my home lake, Watery. Yeah, I'm about, you know, I live in Hartsville. I'm about 40 minutes, I guess, kind of north of Watery. So that I do tend to fish it more than any other ones.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, we're looking at first day of February and moving forward in the next couple of weeks. It's a good time when you can find a good day. It's a bad time when you can't in February.
Yeah, it's February's a it ain't a real tough month, but you know, we still getting a bunch of cold fronts. We getting some wind, and it's lately, you know, it's been raining all the time. Lakes have been staying kind of mudded up, but yeah, February's the time to go on any of these lakes around here to catch really big fish. You know, the fish got roe in them, and they're roaming around feeding in open water, and you know, just about any lake you go to, you know, just the mouth of the creeks are just, I mean, you're going to catch some fish out there in the mouth of the creeks or on river ledges up toward the upper parts of the lake. And that's basically the program on Watery right now. And you got to do some homework yourself and figure out how they're biting, but the depths and stuff. But other than that, you know, that's the fish are going to be in those areas.
Yeah.
So the fish are not sitting on brush yet, correct?
Well, there are some fish on brush. There's always fish on brush. But it's not like the warmer months from May to, I'd say, the middle of November. Brush is what you need to be.
That's about during that time period in the summer. That's about the only place they're going to be, especially if we're talking about black crappie.
Those fish come off of it at night and they'll feed. You'll actually get to, if you get to a brush pile too early, even in the summertime, you know, you won't see as many fish on it. There'll be some, but you won't see as many. But once that sun gets up, them fish are going to be going back to something. They're going to be looking for that shade. And yeah, you can go and, you know, you can load up on them.
And we talked a little bit during the first segment about Santee Cooper Lakes being, you know, a little bit earlier because it is a little bit warmer climate. But it's like a lot of, even a deer hunting down there, the ruts
early.
The ruts a little bit earlier and everything. But what would be your best bet for the month of February?
Well, on Santee, I would, you know, right now the lower lake's real popular. If you don't know the lower lake, you know, you need to get a map. You know, you need a map chip for either one of those lakes. You know, you got to, the lower lake doesn't have as many stumps, but there's sandbars out in the middle of the lake and flats that you don't want to run over, especially if the lake's low. But basically, that lower lake, you know, creeks, just like we talked about, they'll be in those major creeks. But on lower lake, those are underwater creeks. They don't have, you know, trees going down on like a normal lake like Watery or Marion, the upper lake, you know, you got to look at your mapping, whatever mapping you have, Navionics or Lake Master or Lowrance's new sea maps, and just find those underwater creeks and just, you know, stay out in 30 to 15 foot of water. If it's colder, they'll probably pull out. If you get a couple warm days, they'll probably move in and just stay in those creeks. And if you know how to read your graphs, you know, use them to find some fish. And if not, we talked about long line trolling earlier, just throw some jigs out the back of the boat and troll about a mile an hour, and you know, you should have some rods bending.
I would recommend, CNT is an amazing fishery. I mean, no doubt. But I tell people ask me about CNT and ask me about fishing down there. And I tell people, if you have never been there, you need to hire a guide. You know, not only to be able to catch fish, but also to learn a little bit about the lake. That can be a very intimidating place down there if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, especially
and
if you
I
get
always
wind
tell
come
people,
up, yeah.
I'm like, hire a guide down there to take you fishing that first couple times. Kind of get used to the way things are down there, because there's some pretty dangerous territory on that lake.
Yeah, you can get in trouble real quick on that lake, and you can go across that lake to get to another spot. And even if you know how to run the lake, and you can then get some wind up, and it don't take about 5 or 10 miles an hour, and that place is rocking and rolling, and you better,
yes,
you know,
indeed,
you better be real careful coming back across it. But yeah, I agree with you. I'm a guy, and I'm a little partial to that, but yeah, I do agree. You know, if somebody came with me, you know, I'm going to show them the safe places that we fished that day to run. You know, they can come back in their own boats. I'm not one of these guys that, you know, showing people out and tell them, don't ever come back here. You know, you go fishing with me, you know, hey, I show you what I show you. If you can come back and catch them, then come on.
Now, what about lakes like Midland lakes like Watery and Lake Murray to a different extent? How much further behind when would you expect the fishing to get good in that pre-spawn crappy fishing pattern on those two lakes?
Well, you know, now it can be good if we get a couple warm days. This fish will kind of come up. It won't be quite as deep, and you can catch them the same way. But those fish are behind. If you clean a couple of those fish, you'll see their row isn't as developed as somewhere like Santee. And you can catch those fish. And, you know, you catch fish in cold water, they're going to be white regardless if they're black crappie or white crappie. They're going to be that silver sheen. And those fish, they don't have any color to them right now. They're just not quite ready to go. But at Santee, the fish, man, you caught, you know, those fish had a bunch of color, typical you see in warmer weather months. So they're just a little behind. Another couple weeks, another month, it'll be, you know, really good fishing all over. It's still good fishing now if you can figure them out and just be patient, but it'll be really good in about another month when you can just go to any creek and fish the mouth all the way to the back and catch fish the whole time.
And I want you to dispel a myth that I hear a lot, and I've tried to tell people this. When you were talking about a string of warm days, even in February, and there'll always be some anglers said, man, they're already spawning. It'd be February the 14th, you know, at the end of a 3-day warm spell. I caught fish in 4 feet of water. They're already spawning.
Yeah, so those fish move. I could catch fish in 5 or 6 foot of water now on Santee, you know. Some of those fish may be ready to go. And I'm not going to say any fish are all fish are spawning there. There could be a few moving up at Santee. I almost guarantee at Santee there's some fish that are spawning. If we get a couple warm days, that they may. But in these other lakes, I don't think they're quite ready to go yet.
Yeah, and where I was kind of going with that is a lot of folks don't realize that these fish, they're cold-blooded and they're getting ready to spawn. You know, in a pre-spawn, and that might be a month, and they're sunfish. And if they can find that, you know, 4 degrees, 3 or 4 degrees warmer
makes a
water,
huge difference.
They're going to come up in that warm water.
And
they're not
going
to stay there, but they're going to get warmed up. That helps the females generate their eggs and get their eggs dropped down. But that doesn't mean that they're going to stay there. I can't tell you how many times somebody says, oh, well, they're spawning, and then they'll go back the next day or 2 days later into that same, you know, 3 foot of water, go, well, I guess they done spawned and moved on. No, they moved with the water temperature.
Yeah, no, and I even mentioned it earlier. I remember mentioning if we get a couple of, you know, a cold day or two, those fish may move out, go back a little deeper, and that's basically what you're saying. But, yeah, the people that tournament fish, we share information, and if we get a couple, you always go to the backs of the creeks, and you'll find the warmer water. And if somebody says, oh, man, the water's got up to 65 back here, you know, a lot of times that'll be one of the best creeks is where you can find the warmest water, and you'll catch every fish in there, and all of them will still have eggs. They won't be laid out, but they'll all have eggs. And, you know, they're back there, but they're, like you said, they're not quite ready a lot of times.
Awesome. Well, TC, if any of our listeners want to get in touch with you and arrange, like Boat Girl was talking about, have you take them out on a fishing trip to learn a new lake or learn one of the Santee lakes, Southern Angling Guide Service, tell them how they can get in touch with you.
All right. So I got a Facebook page, Southern Angling Guide Service. You can call my personal cell at 843-307-6678. I've got a website. It's catchcarolina.com. And like I said, I offer fishing trips, and I do electronics training. If anybody has a new depth finder or something, they want to learn how to read.
Hey, you know, we need that.
Yeah, you come load up in the boat with me, and I'll show you what I can. So I just do everything fishing. I even install electronics control motors on the side. Just anything fishing, I'm all for it.
Awesome. TC Lloyd, thanks for being on the show with us. Great interview. And you folks get out there and go catch some crappie. It's crappie season.
Yes, it is. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.